The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. So Jesus has been teaching the multitudes, and now he's going with his disciples to a quiet place. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, ships have been in the news in recent months here in New Zealand, particularly the link between the North and South Islands. Luckily, the mishap with the ferry Aretere did not have any catastrophic consequences. However, it could have been considerably worse. We know that parts of the inter-island crossing are treacherous and that seas can be quite rough in the Cook Strait. Over the years, I've been on the ferries quite a bit, particularly when I lived in Wellington. Over a long weekend at times, I would go over to the South Island to experience the mountains, often with a tramping club. I remember one occasion in particular. It was when I led a tramping group to Mount Owen in the Kahurangi National Park, just west of Nelson, that is. We had arrived at the road end late on the Friday, then walked up to Granity Pass Hut on a fine day. The next day, we wanted to scale Mount Owen, but the weather became so treacherous that we spent most of the day in the hut. On the Monday of the long weekend, we set out nice and early from the hut to meet up with other tramping groups who had come to this area, and we then piled into the vans. Unfortunately, we didn't get very far. You know, a river at the ford was far too high to take the vans through. Someone finally organized a shuttle bus to take people from the other side of the river to pick them. So they had to walk through the river on foot and then were able to catch the bus from there to the ferry. But I was a van driver, so I stayed back with three others with the vans. We rebooked the inter-islander sailing and were told that all ferries had been delayed on the Cook Strait. A few hours later, the water had subsided enough for us to ford the river. We arrived late that night in Picton. Cook Strait was still fairly rough. The ferry Arahura had just arrived from Wellington and was ready to take us back home. We were warned that we could expect a rough crossing. After we drove our vans on to the ship, we made our way to the accommodation. And one thing I can still clearly remember was the smell of vomit across the ship. Well, the ship wasn't full, so I took the sleeping bag out of my backpack and snuggled up in a corner. I drifted it off to sleep slowly. And then I realized that the ship came to the open sea, to the Cook Strait. The waves hit it full on. The Arahura pitched, rolled, and heaved. It would have been quite impossible to walk along the deck, at least I think. But I felt cradled like a baby on that ship. It was really comfortable, and I enjoyed the voyage. I slept through most of it. I did not feel queasy, and I was not afraid. I trusted that ship. I had heard repeatedly how reliable the Arahura was. Now, I'm not so sure I would be quite that calm on any of the ferries that currently cruise Cook Strait. But on the Arahura, I felt at ease. Of course, I thought even if it would sink, I knew that this would not be the end, that in the end I was held by God. Well, from this experience, I can identify somewhat with Jesus, who slept through a storm on Lake Galilee. If you feel safe on a ship, then the wind and the waves don't cause alarm and may even feel comforting. Jesus was not just unafraid because he trusted the ship, but because of his complete trust in God. What is more, the same power and authority belonged to Jesus, who rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still," he said. And the waves were still. This is not just a miracle story to assure the disciples that Jesus was a great man. Rather, in a sense, it's an epiphany, an insight into the reality of who Jesus is. The disciples began to understand that Jesus is really God. Throughout the Old Testament, God is described as the one who controls the sea. The sea was not only seen as a threatening natural power, but also in a sense as the personification of chaos. Even though chaos continually threatens humanity, God does not allow it to completely overwhelm humans. Similarly, God has put boundaries in place so that the sea does not destroy people. Of course, humans regularly break those boundaries, both in a more metaphorical sense, opening themselves up to chaos and destruction, but also in a literal sense by using nature and the sea in a somewhat inappropriate way. Jesus then shows through his actions there on Lake Galilee that he is God. Well, that may all sound somewhat fantastical to rational people, but a miracle, after all, is an exception to the normally expected order of events in a way that reveals something of God. And Jesus' miracles in small but extraordinary ways showed something of God. After the wind died down and it was calm, there on Lake Galilee, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, maybe the disciples were right to have some fear. After all, they were seasoned fishermen and knew the lake only too well. If they thought that they might drown, then there must have been something to that fear. Still, Jesus encourages them to greater faith. If they had trust in God, fear would not dominate them quite so much. After all, they knew that Jesus was with them. They knew that their lives were held by God, and God is not indifferent to their plight. That does not only apply to that storm there on Lake Galilee, that also applies to their lives as a whole, and also to our lives. Do we trust in Jesus when our lives are in turmoil, when the storms of life buffet us? Why do we have so much fear? Do we not remember that in many small and great ways, God has carried us? Jesus calls us to a greater trust in God through himself, through Jesus. Now, our trust in God is not foolish recklessness, but rather real trust, because God has helped so many others and has also carried us throughout our lives. Now, some of us may trust God because we heard the witness of others that God has made a difference in their lives. I hope that many have also experienced that God has made a difference in our own lives. Instead of fear, we are called to faith and trust, even when we are in difficult times, even when the storms are around us. That's easier when we realize who it is who is with us. Even the wind and the waves obey Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of all the earth and yet cares for us. God can hold back the threat of chaos in our lives and in the world. We do not need to despair even when times are dark. "Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." Amen.